cancer, other debilitating illnesses or diseases, catastrophic accidents. Unfortunately, these are terrible things that happen every day to everyday people. I'm sure many of you out there in my viewership have experienced some of these life circumstances. I know many of our clients at Choice Tax Relief have. And the question often comes up, hey, Logan, I had this terrible thing that I experienced in my life, or maybe I'm still experiencing in my life, right? Such as a chronic illness or something. Or maybe depression as a result of some tragedy, the unexpected loss of a close loved one or something like that. Is the IRS going to cut me a break as a result of this? And the answer is oftentimes yes. I'm serious. Oftentimes the answer is yes. And that is the nature of this individual's question today. I'm going to read her question and just share my off-the-cuff thoughts. We don't have all the details here of her situation, but I'm just going to share some thoughts that I think might be helpful for some of you out there who are wondering something similar. So this person says, unfiled taxes for 2021. Okay, so they didn't file their tax return in 2021, and she's going to explain why. Need some advice. I am self-employed and my husband is salaried. 2021, I made more money than I had. I also had a baby that year. Fast forward to early 2022. I'm hospitalized with cancer and the hospital bills, along with me not working, completely depleted our income and savings. We had no money to pay our taxes. We were actually gutting our savings just to pay our bills, so we didn't file. I know. I have now made somewhat of a recovery and I'm working a salary position. I know we're going to owe a big chunk and we don't have the means to pay for it. Need some advice on how I go about this. Okay, so first thing I think about when I hear about illness or something like this, when it comes to tax debt, is penalty abatement. Okay, penalty abatement, right? Because the IRS very often looks very favorably, and I would even say mercifully, on chronic illnesses, right? Where you have the doctors, the medical records to prove it, and you can make a connection between this time that you were hospitalized and you know this illness and your inability to meet your tax obligations. Okay, so I would submit, even if these taxpayers didn't qualify for first-time abate, I would probably still submit a request for penalty abatement based on reasonable cause. Okay, I think failure to pay might be a little bit difficult, because this is 2021 tax debt. She was self-employed. She should have theoretically been making estimated tax payments throughout the year, right? And it sounds like the illness and the hospitalization didn't happen until early 2022. Okay, so fair to pay might be tough, because they might come back and say, well, you should have known, you know, even before you got sick in 2022, you should have still been making payments and setting money aside throughout 2021. Pay your tax debt. Failure to file, though, I think she has an argument here. Why? Because she was in the hospital in 2022, right? She couldn't, close her books for 2021. And if you're self-employed, you're Schedule C, you need a set of books and records before you file your tax return, right? How was she supposed to do that if she was hospitalized with cancer, okay? I think there'd be a fairly good argument here for failure to file. Okay, now that's just with respect to the penalties for 2021, right? This year where she made a bunch of money as an independent contractor, and then she got hospitalized the next year, and she didn't pay the taxes for that year, nor did she file a 2021 return. Okay, so I would investigate penalty abatement closely, right? Either under first time abate or for reasonable cause. Next thing is. Okay, and so people hear that, they're like, great, great, great. Penalty abatement, great, great. What about the taxes themselves? Is IRS going to cut me a break on the taxes themselves for these years? And the answer to that question is yes, but only in very narrow circumstances that are far from guaranteed. Okay, and there's not enough information from this brief, few sentence post here to really say whether I would pursue one of these options or not. But there are a couple options that you want to think about when there's a chronic illness or some other, life tragedy, catastrophe involved. First one, and these are two kinds of offers and compromise that are not the standard offer and compromise. Standard offer and compromise is purely driven by the numbers, okay? What's your monthly disposable income? How much equity and assets do you have, right, based on IRS math? And then you combine those two things, voila, to come up with your reasonable collection potential. I'm shorthanding here. You can watch my video on the offer and compromise formula. It's an hour long. Link to that at the top of the screen if you want the full details here about how to calculate this. Okay, so it's based on the math, right? What's your reasonable collection potential, right? And if your reasonable collection potential is higher than the amount of tax that you owe, or if the IRS would get more in an installment agreement if you pay your disposable income, whatever your monthly disposable income calculated is, until the tax debt drops off at its collection statute expiration date, IRS is going to reject your offer. All right, math. Now, you know, there's some negotiation there on expenses, right? Like we have some cases and appeals right now where the offer examiner disallowed some expenses, and we're like, no, these are good expenses. We have a case right now where the offer examiner didn't allow the taxpayer any living expenses whatsoever, even though he's clearly paying rent. We showed her on the credit card statement. She's like, no, it has to be on a bank statement. We're like, no, it can be on the credit card statement. And we got the IRM site for that. So we got to take it to appeals, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so that's a typical DAO's collectibility offer and compromise. Just based on the math, yeah, there's some back and forth with the expenses and things like that. But there's another kind of offer and compromise called the DAO's collectibility with special circumstances offer and compromise. What is this? This is an offering compromise where you're saying, IRS, hey, I owe $50,000 to you guys, right? No question about that. And my reasonable collection potential is like $20,000. But I think I should only pay you $500. And here's why. Here's my special circumstances. And there's I'll pull it up. There's a section, there's a part in there. Right, so this is the 433AOIC where you calculate reasonable collection potential. You know, you go through income and assets and all that stuff, and expenses, right? And you're going to come up with the math, do the math, and come up with this figure, right? And it says, place the offer amount shown above on the Form 656, Section 4 payment terms, unless you cannot pay that amount due to special circumstances. If you cannot pay that amount due to special circumstances, place the amount you can pay on that line and explain your special circumstances on Form 656 offer and compromise section 3, reason for offer, right? So, you know, let's say this taxpayer, they end up owing the IRS 50 grand and the reasonable collection potential is 20 grand here. You'd usually just put that 20 grand there as the amount you're going to offer. But if you have special circumstances, and again, it's not a guarantee that the IRS is going to approve these special circumstances, then you check the box here, DAO's collectibility. I do not have an assets and income to pay the full amount. But look, if you have special circumstances, which would prevent you from paying the minimum offer amount calculated in the 433 AOIC due to economic hardship explained below, and attach any documentation to this offer. Okay, and then you have to write your explanation right here, right? You check the box, yada, yada, yada. I had all these hospital bills, blah, 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 right? And kind of beg for mercy here. Right. So that's if DAO's collectibility with special circumstances. If look, you owe this much, your reasonable collection potential is less than that, but you're still saying you should pay an even lower amount than your reasonable collection potential. Okay. Now, what if your reasonable collection potential exceeds the amount you owe? Okay. Then what you would go for, if you think you have sufficiently special circumstances to warrant this, then you'd go for the effective tax administration offer and compromise, right? And look what this is saying. Effective tax administration. I owe this amount and have enough in assets and income to pay this liability in full. But due to my special circumstances, requiring full payment would cause an economic hardship or be inequitable. Okay? So it's either like, look, it's going to cause an economic hardship because I got all these, you know, whatever hospital bills and anticipated future hospital bills to pay, or, right, there's something else going on, right? Collection of my full liability would undermine public confidence that the tax laws are being administered in a fair and equitable manner. Wow, they're making this woman pay her taxes after, you know, she just had her first child and she was in the hospital for a year. Wow, that's terrible, right? So, you know, I'm just kind of saying based on experience, we've gotten these through with extremely chronic things, lifelong debilitating things, right? And I don't mean to say anything about, you know, this woman's situation. But, you know, she was, I'm just telling you how, you know, the IRS might view it. Look, you were in the hospital for a year and now you're back at work, right? But I don't know, maybe this is the kind of cancer that can come back quite frequently. You know, you don't know. I don't want to, you know, speculate too much on her individual situation. But let me just suffice it to say that with Dow's collectability of special circumstances, and especially with effective tax administration offers and compromise, the story has to be really, 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 really good. Okay, and they're usually asked, and it sucks to say this, but the worse the disease or whatever happened, the better. Okay, and you know, depending on the examiner, they might accept, you know, this year-long hospitalization. Okay, that's a sufficient special circumstances, or they may not. They may be the kind of examiner that's, you know, really that you would need, like, well, this is a chronic thing. I've been in the hospital for the last 6 years. I'm going to be, you know, under, you know, super special care for the rest of my life or something like this, right? ETA offers and compromise. And, you know, often the ETA offers, they have to be reviewed by the very high up at the IRS, right? Because oftentimes, you know, the thinking is, well, if we approve the approval of this officer could kind of set a standard or a precedent that could affect the acceptance or rejection of other offers. So oftentimes a level of review, especially on those ETA offers and compromise, can be very high. So just something to keep in mind. But I do want to throw it out there because I don't talk about these a lot, but they are options in certain special circumstances. All right, folks. What else I have to say? That's it. if you have any questions about this topic, please leave them in the comment section below. I have some other tax relief videos here on the left-hand side of the screen. And if you want to talk to us at Choice Tax Relief, call us 866-8000-TAX. That's 866-8000-829. Go to choicetaxrelief.com. Fill out the form on the homepage or just book the free consultation button up there at the top of the screen on our homepage. And we'll talk to you soon. All right, folks. Thanks so much for watching this video. Check out some others over here. I'll see you in the next one. All right. Bye-bye.